Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anne Ball, Katie Weaver, and Dan Friedel. Later, John Russell will bring us this week's education report. But first, here is Anne Ball.
American scientists cheered loudly as their spacecraft, called Juno, entered Jupiter's orbit Monday night.
Juno, welcome to Jupiter.
The scientists are with the U.S. Space Agency's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. They carefully watch the spacecraft make it safely into orbit around the fifth planet in our solar system. Operating on solar power, Juno had traveled 2.8 billion kilometers over 5 years to get to Jupiter. It was a proud and emotional moment for NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. NASA scientists said Juno hit its target almost perfectly, aiming for an area that was just tens of kilometers wide. Juno was only 1 second off its target. The spacecraft is relatively small, the size of a basketball court, but Jupiter is the largest planet in our solar system. Jupiter is called a gas giant because it does not have a solid surface. Scott Bolton, the principal investigator of Juno, is from the Southwest Research Institute in Texas. He explained the importance of Jupiter and its more than 60 moons.
This is the king of our solar system and its disciples going around it. It's also representative of nature. This is how we look. That's a mini solar system. And so I think it's very, it's very significant because we're finally able to see with real video, real pictures, this motion. And we've only been able to imagine it up till today.
Juno will make 37 trips around Jupiter over the next 20 months. It will produce maps of the huge planet and study its surface from just 4,667 kilometers above its clouds. NASA says it hopes the data from Juno will tell scientists more about the planet's beginnings, structure, atmosphere, and magnetosphere. Scientific equipment on Juno will examine Jupiter's very active atmosphere, which is covered by thick clouds. They will also record information about the planet's gravitational pull, and they will gather information about its magnetic field, which is 20,000 times stronger than that of Earth. One danger Juno faces is intense radiation from Jupiter. Over the planned lifetime of its mission, Juno will face the same amount of radiation as a dental patient would experience in over 100 million X-rays. So scientists protected the spacecraft's computer with strong titanium walls that are almost 1.27 centimeters thick and weigh 172 kilograms. Scientists hope this thickness will protect it from the extreme radiation. Without that protection, experts say the spacecraft's electronic brain will likely be destroyed before the end of the very first orbit around the planet. Scientists say Jupiter is mostly composed of two gases, hydrogen and helium, like the Sun. They say the levels of oxygen and water in the atmosphere may tell how the planet and our solar system were formed. Researchers also hope to learn if Jupiter has a solid center. In addition to carrying scientific instruments, the spacecraft has a camera. It has already sent back images of the planet's larger moons. NASA says it will work with the public and take suggestions on where to point the camera. Many people will want a closer look at the colorful orange, red, white, and brown clouds moving quickly across the planet. Scientists will also get a close-up view of the giant red spot Jupiter is famous for. It is a storm larger than the size of Earth. Juno will begin sending information from its seven instruments to NASA next month. Steve Levin, a Juno project scientist, said he wants to see that data. Juno is the second NASA spacecraft to reach Jupiter. The Galileo spacecraft orbited Jupiter from 1995 to 2003. Galileo studied the planet and its four largest moons, Europa, Ganymede, Io, and Callisto. Earlier spacecraft flew by Jupiter as they traveled to the outer parts of our solar system. Juno will circle and study Jupiter until 2018, when it will enter the planet's atmosphere. That action is expected to destroy the spacecraft. I'm Ann Ball.
China has started a week of military training in a large disputed area of the South China Sea. The Chinese government did not give details about the training, but it said the exercises would end one day before an international court rules on the dispute. China and the Philippines both claim territorial rights to the area. The Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague is currently considering the case. It is to announce its ruling next Monday, July 12th. The disputed territory is east of China's Hainan Island, down to and including the Paracel Islands. The Paracels include about 130 reefs and islands. It is believed the court will rule in favor of the Philippines next Tuesday. That could remove any legal basis for China's claims over almost all of the South China Sea. China has repeatedly rejected the idea that the court has power in the area. Chinese Foreign Ministry official Hong Lei spoke at a press conference Monday. He said the court has no jurisdiction over the South China Sea dispute. He said the ruling will be illegal and invalid. Hong also told reporters that China has every right to claim the disputed area. He accused the former Philippine government that requested the legal action of lying. Tang Siuman is an expert with the Singapore-based research organization ICES Yusof Ishak Institute. He communicated with VOA over email. He wrote that the Chinese military training, in his words, could serve as a reminder of China's military power and its willingness to deploy such means to protect its national interest. Tang also wrote that China would ignore the court ruling. He said it will use economic offers to influence the new president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte. And, the researcher wrote, China will urge its Southeastern Asian allies not to release statements on the ruling. Last month, China pressured the 10-member Association of Southeast Asian Nations about a statement it planned to make. The statement warned that recent developments about the South China Sea may have the potential to undermine peace, security, and stability. ASEAN withdrew the statement after its release. Some experts say it is meaningful that China took its training to the Paracels area. It did not take the training to the Spratly Islands, where the Philippines has a presence. However, James Nolt says the meaning is not clear. Nolt is an expert with the research organization World Policy Institute. He told VOA that the chosen training area could simply serve the Chinese Navy best. The United States said it will continue to watch the South China Sea situation. I'm Katie Weaver.
The investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server while serving as Secretary of State appears likely to end with no criminal charges. Federal Bureau of Investigation Director James Comey announced on Tuesday that the FBI found no evidence Clinton intentionally used the server to send or receive classified information. Our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case, he said. The announcement comes a little more than 3 weeks before the Democratic Party is set to officially nominate her as its candidate for president. But it was not all good news for her. Comey criticized Clinton's actions, saying they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. And Republican Party leaders said they would continue to make her use of the private email server a campaign issue. The FBI's call for no criminal charges against Clinton is likely to stand. Although the Department of Justice makes final decisions on matters like this, we are expressing our view that no charges are appropriate in this case, Comey said. Attorney General Loretta Lynch announced last week she would accept the decisions of the FBI and career prosecutors in the Justice Department. A career prosecutor is a lawyer who remains in his or her government job, no matter which party controls the presidency. Donald Trump, the likely presidential candidate of the Republicans, criticized Comey's announcement. He tweeted, "No charges, wow." In an earlier tweet, he said, "Very, very unfair. As usual, bad judgment." Clinton spokesman Brian Fallon said her campaign is pleased that career officials have determined that no further action by the department is appropriate. He added that Clinton has already said it was a mistake to use her personal email, and she would not do it again. The FBI's announcement came on the same day Clinton campaigned for president with President Barack Obama for the first time. They traveled on Air Force One together to North Carolina, a state that Obama won in 2008, but lost in his 2012 re-election. Trump also campaigned in North Carolina on Tuesday. It was no accident that charges were not recommended against Hillary the exact same day as President Obama campaigns with her for the first time, Trump said. He said the system is rigged, suggesting it helps some people, but not others. The normal punishment in this case would include losing authority to handle classified information, and that, too, disqualifies Hillary Clinton from being president, Trump said. Last Saturday, Clinton met with FBI agents in Washington for over 3 hours, a sign that the long investigation was nearly over. Last week, Attorney General Lynch said she would not make a decision on possible criminal charges in the case. Lynch made the statement after she was criticized for meeting with former President Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton's husband, while both were at an airport. Lynch said the investigation did not come up during her 30-minute talk with Bill Clinton. But Republicans and some Democrats said such a meeting was a mistake while an investigation was continuing. At his press conference, FBI Director Comey said it is possible that foreign enemies of the United States read Clinton's emails. He said the FBI found no evidence that Clinton or her staff intentionally removed emails. But he noted that agents did find several thousand work-related emails not given by the State Department. He reported that FBI agents investigated for a year, talked to many people, and looked at over 30,000 emails. Clinton has said that she did not receive or send emails that were classified, at least at the time they were sent or delivered. But Comey said 110 emails contained classified information at the time they were sent or received. 8, he said, were top secret. He said Clinton and other State Department officials should have known that an unclassified system was no place to send and receive emails. House Speaker Paul Ryan, a Republican, criticized the FBI finding against criminal charges. While I respect the law enforcement professionals at the FBI, this announcement defies explanation, he said. No one should be above the law.
This is what's trending today. Monday was Independence Day in the United States. July 4th is an important holiday every year. On that date in 1776, 13 British colonies in North America joined together to declare their independence from Britain. Fireworks shows are a big part of the 4th of July celebration. In many cities, crowds gather in large open spaces or along rivers to watch small rockets being fired into the air. The rockets explode high in the sky, often leaving red, white, and blue streaks, the colors of the U.S. flag. Some Americans say July 4th is a perfect time for fireworks because of the U.S. national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. The song has words like, "And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there." But this Monday was a rainy day in the U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C. There were low clouds in the sky over the National Mall and the Capitol building, the site of a major fireworks show. The clouds made it hard for crowds to see the fireworks. But when the show had images of fireworks exploding against a clear night sky, people were confused, especially people who knew it was a cloudy, rainy night in Washington. And those people reacted on Twitter. One person wrote, "The fireworks from my apartment window don't look like PBS. Hashtag fake." Someone else added, "Not cool. Those shots are clearly not from tonight." Finally, the producers of the show released a statement. They called editing the TV broadcast the patriotic thing to do. One person wrote, "If I wanted that, I'd watch YouTube." Eventually, the producers apologized for not being honest with TV viewers. They wrote that the edits were made to make the best possible television viewing experience. "We apologize." But that was not the end of it. One Twitter user joked, "Only in D.C. could a PBS show become a scandal." And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
English learners can improve their listening skills by transcribing spoken English. That advice comes from Pascal Amon, the academic director for the English Language Institute at Missouri State University. Students often study listening comprehension in less than interesting, even boring ways, he adds. Transcription, however, provides a fun way to improve one's listening skills. At VOA Learning English, we often receive questions from English learners about how they can improve their listening skills. Some learners want to build up general English skills, while others want to take exams that involve listening skills. Take the TOEFL exam, for example. International students who want to attend an American college or university are often required to pass TOEFL, short for the Test of English as a Foreign Language. This test has a listening section. It asks students to show their ability to understand short and long conversations in English. Those discussions are designed to test one's understanding of common vocabulary, idiomatic expressions, and special grammatical constructions used in speech. Whether you want to build general English skills or prepare for a test, being able to understand spoken English is a necessary skill, and you will not get better at this skill unless you practice. Pascal Amon says that listening exercises should force English learners to focus on turning the sounds that they hear into words. Then, learners must use their brains to turn these words into a message. Many students try to learn listening skills by performing listening comprehension activities. Amon believes that such exercises have value, but do not force the student to decode individual sounds. Worse, some English learners listen to television or radio programs in English, but do not actively try to study how native speakers say words and sentences. Building listening skills does not have to be boring, says Amon. There are fun, game-like activities that build listening skills. One such activity, Amon says, is to make transcriptions. Transcribing is the act of writing down the words that have been spoken. English learners should start working with transcriptions by finding audio or video material that has a transcript with it, Amon says. Then, he adds, English learners can start practicing.
They listen to a segment as many times as they need, and they try to write everything they hear without subtitles, without just focusing on what they hear. And then they can check with the actual transcript to see what they got right, what they did not get right. If there are areas where they thought they heard two words, but there's actually only one, or they missed, a verb ending or a plural or something.
Students should not stop the transcription exercise there, however. Amon says that students should always try to learn from their mistakes. Students should think, Amon adds, about what they could do better. By identifying problems and repeating the exercise, English learners will improve their listening skills. You can start practicing transcription on your own by following these steps. First, find audio that has a printed transcript, but do not look at the words. You should choose audio that is right for your level. One way you could do this on our website is to open a story and start listening to the audio before reading the story. All of our stories have audio below the headline of the story. Second, listen to a short section of the audio many times. After you have listened many times, try to write down what you hear. Third, compare what you wrote against the story. Finally, think about, as Amon suggested, where you had problems. Ask yourself the following questions. What do I need to improve? What words or sounds did I not hear? Remember, when you transcribe something, you do not always have to choose a news story. You could choose a song or part of a movie that you like. Just be sure that you are able to find a transcript for it to check your work. To get you started, let me give you something to transcribe. Listen to part of a song at the end of this story. The song is called How Deep is the Ocean, and the singer is American Billie Holiday. Transcribe what you hear and write it in the comments section or on our Facebook page. Next week, we will give you the answer in the comments section of this story and on our Facebook page. I'm John Russell.
How far would I travel to be where you are? How far is the journey from here to a star? And if I ever lost you, how much would I cry?
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.